This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. When your personal care routine needs a refresh, Dr. Squatch is here to help. They have high-performing natural products with no harmful ingredients that'll have you looking and smelling your best. Like the Bay Rum Soap and Deodorant. It smells delightfully spicy. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/Spotify or use the code Spotify at checkout.
Hello, welcome to Unequal Sequel
Extra.
It's the Friday. It's that time we got on the roller coaster of life for the sequel goodness, where we go ups and downs and the frills and spills, and we scream a lot because we like sequels.
Okay. Your analogies were getting really good, and I feel like that one. The roller coaster's gone all the way
down. Do you
down
think that's better or worse than the last 2 weeks?
Do you know what? Like, the roller coaster's a good analogy. I just think you lost it a little bit when you were trying to fit
well,
it in.
As soon as I said the dips have go down, I was like, oh, I've got to try and get this back up. But I think that's really good from what we're going to do today. Anyway, Rich, before we go into that, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah.
I'm just going to do this quickly. My name is Dave. I'm one of the hosts of Unequal Sequel. That other voice you can hear is Rich. He's the other voice of Unequal Sequel. We're a podcast and we talk about sequels. There you go.
I mean, you probably know that if you're listening.
But like, to new listeners.
Well, yeah, but even new listeners, they've probably gone, oh, Unequal Sequel. I wonder if that's a podcast about trees. Like, I think they probably guess we're a podcast about
sequels.
Yeah,
that's a good point. What are we doing today?
We are doing... And forgive me, because this is slightly last minute, because September is not a good month for movies.
They don't need to know this.
Well, I mean, you know, the Queen died, and then September's not a good month for movies anyway, so it's all been a bit of a perfect storm, but we have come up with something, and it is our top five trilogies, and there are rules. There are arbitrary rules which we must follow. So yes, trilogies, for arbitrary rules, there must be three and only three. So you can't have Mission Impossible 1, 2 and 3, for example, because there are three more movies after. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be one that's only three movies. Although
so no Toy Stories,
no Indiana Joneses. Although if it's three movies and a reboot... then you can discount the reboot and still count it as a trilogy, apparently. That's according
to Dave. At some point, someone's called it a trilogy, I think.
Well, yeah, but like Star Wars was a trilogy originally.
I've never heard anyone say, hey, I love the Mission Impossible trilogy.
Well, it was when it was a trilogy when there's only three of them, Dave.
Yeah, but there's not... you're ruining my words. I found, Rich, when I suggested this, I thought this would be easy.
It's not, is it?
It's really difficult, and I'm really sorry about that.
And also the other rule is we have to have seen all of the movies in the trilogy.
Yes.
So we can't pick a trilogy where we've not seen all of the movies. So therefore, I've not been able to pick the Godfather trilogy, for example, because I've never seen Godfather 3. So I've not been able to pick that.
What about the Before trilogy? That came up on everyone's list, and I still have not seen
you
the
last
You have
preempted one of my picks.
Yes. They must be good then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, should we start at five and work our way up? So
yes.
I wouldn't say worse, because these are still very good. There's lots and lots of bad trilogies, it seems. Hey, did you know there's a Free Willy trilogy?
I did not. No, there is a Mighty Ducks trilogy, though. I thought that's right up your street.
It nearly made it, but the third one does let it down.
Oh, okay. Okay.
In my eyes. I don't know about everyone else. But okay. So you go on, number five.
Number five, the Naked Gun trilogy.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wanted a comedy in there, like an all-out comedy. I was really racking my brains, and I was like, right, I'm going to go back to when I was younger, and what did I find absolutely hilarious? And I loved Airplane, and obviously Airplane's not quite a trilogy, but the Naked Gun trilogy, Leslie Nielsen, fantastic. Absolutely love it.
Do you think the first two are stronger than the last one? I haven't watched the last one in a while.
Yes, I do, but 33 and a third has a special place in my heart because it's the one I saw first, and I loved it. I that's just rolled around laughing at it, and that's why I managed to watch the other two. So, no, it isn't as good. The first two are much better, but I still have a... There's still got a soft spot for 33 and a third.
I do have a feeling that I think our top five trilogies are not going to be the best trilogies out there, but they're going to be our favourite trilogies.
Definitely our favourite trilogies.
So, I think I'm going to preempt and say that, guys... These are my favourite. They're not the best films ever. They're the stuff that I enjoy the most. And probably the most rewatchable. Okay,
absolutely.
Like you, Naked Gun, hugely rewatchable. You can just put that whenever and
it's
watch
got
it.
So many levels of comedy. So there's one-liners in there. There's innuendo. There's physical comedy. You know, it kind of hits every bit of the. If you hate physical comedy but you love one-liners, then there's still something for you. If you like clever stuff but hate one-liners, you know, it's there's always stuff in there for you. It's very, very good.
It's also a good trilogy because you watch one, you want to watch the other because you've had such a good time. And by the time you get to the third one and it wanes a bit, but you've had such a crack in 6 hours by that point as a trilogy. You think, oh, that was a good laugh. I don't think you can do that for all trilogies. I think certain points let you up and down. And sometimes films of trilogies are hard to get through, aka Godfathers.
Yes, yeah. I mean, they're three very long movies, The Godfather movies on there. I haven't seen three, so I can't say.
Okay.
Yeah, so what about you, Dave? What's your first choice?
My number five, I'm going to change this around, is the Ghostbusters trilogy, and I'm going to call it a trilogy.
Okay.
I actually agree with this.
Crossing Ghostbusters out because I thought it wouldn't be allowed. So
it is allowed because those three films, Ghostbusters 1, 2, and Afterlife, are...
A trilogy.
In the same universe.
Yeah, I get that. Absolutely.
The other
get
one
that.
Is a separate film. So if they brought out other films from that, that would be that trilogy.
I understand. I didn't realise that was the rule until too late, basically. So I'd already crossed. Ghostbusters was in. It was penciled in the list. And I thought, no, I think that breaks the rules and I've crossed it out. But it's really good to know that you've picked it because it's
absolutely.
A cracking
trilogy. It was a late entry that I remembered about because I was like, oh my God, no. Recently, I've really enjoyed Ghostbusters Afterlife. And we all know, if you listen to our Unequal Sequel, you know this is a safe space for Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yes.
It's a huge, huge movie for me and Rich. It's probably one of the first sequels I ever watched. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the first one my parents sat down and watched with me because they felt it was like, okay, this is like adult-y, children-y, family film that everyone can enjoy together.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters 1 is a fucking masterpiece.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can watch all three in a row and you still have a good time.
I'm surprised there's only five on your list, Dave. It was going to be three on mine before I changed it.
No, it was close. Actually, in my list, it is number four, but I've just put a one above it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've just changed my mind.
So,
but Ghostbusters 1, 2, Afterlife. At the moment, before the fourth one comes out.
Still counts as a trilogy for now. Yeah.
At this very moment, we can do a Redux episode at some point okay. And change our minds. But at the moment, the Ghostbusters Illa trilogy, they're brilliant films. They've all got the same characters just about.
Yeah, they have. No, there's reoccurring characters through there. That's okay.
There's a theme.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Cool. So what about your number four then? Because you said you've edged Ghostbusters into five. I want to know what's done that edging.
Okay, this is
going
to be the controversial one, I think. Okay. And it's Edgar Wright's Cornetto trilogy.
That's my number two.
I thought
I put a big question mark on that and then an alternative in case you wouldn't let me.
No, it's quite famously a trilogy.
That's what I thought.
I don't know how, but you know the different flavors they are, and there's always
so
a Cornetto,
the Cornetto trilogy is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Yes,
again, there is a weaker one.
Which one would you call the weaker one?
I think World's End is a weaker one.
I love The World's End. I think I know I'm in a minority. A lot of people say it's definitely the weakest, and some people say it's not good. I completely disagree with everyone.
It's good. I think it's just the weakest.
I think it's
of
Simon Pegg's best role.
Really?
Okay. The way he attacks it and the effort he puts into it. I'm not saying he's not good in Shaun and Hot Fuzz, because
Hot Fuzz is my favourite of the three, definitely.
They're hilarious, and they're so different to each other. So one's a zombie film, then you've got an action-y film, and then you've got like a sci-fi-y film. But they're all great fun, I think. I think they're all very well made.
Yeah.
Certainly some of the best British films made in the last, 20 years now. Is Shaun of the Dead still in this 20-year category, or is it now 21, 22 years old?
I don't know.
I'm going to check.
When was Shaun of the Dead? I don't want it to be 20 years old, because I will feel really flipping old.
I remember us going to watch Hot Fuzz in Portsmouth. I don't know if you were there at that point. We had a weekend in Bognor.
Did we? I sort of do remember that. Shaun of the Dead is 20 years old next year. No,
oh,
2 years. 2004 it came out.
Oh, good. Because James, it was famous for when we went, James bought the wrong time tickets for himself.
I was there. I do remember that.
Famously, we love you, James, but you're an idiot. So,
this is our friend James from university. No one, not many people listen to the podcast will know who he is, but he's famously an idiot.
And you'd think he was buying tickets at a different time. No, he was standing next to someone while we were booking tickets.
He was with us. Yeah. He was with us. We all bought our tickets, and he bought tickets for the wrong time.
He still got in the show, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It was okay.
But I could not tell you which one I love more or less out of this trilogy. I think, yes, the third one is a lot more mature than the other two.
Mm.
And as soon as I saw Shaun of the Dead, it was just love at first sight. And you think, how can you top that? And then Hot Fuzz comes out, and it's like this bad boys cop film in like
Point
Somerset.
Break. Yeah, loved it. I think I was... So I was a massive Spaced fan. I was really into Spaced. And I think I heard on the grapevine that there was a movie coming, whether it was going to be a Spaced movie or what it was going to be. And then I heard that I read an article of interviewing Edgar Wright where he described it as a Zom rom-com. And I was in. And there was a call out for kind of Spaced fans to the Spaced fan club to go and be zombie extras. So all the zombie extras are all members of the Spaced fan club.
Why didn't you go?
I don't know. I think I was at uni and I was busy and we were doing stuff. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't go, but I didn't go.
When you were reading, like you first heard about Shaun of the Dead, you thought he can't be that good. But they honour, you know, George Romero's zombie film so well.
It's really good.
It's really bloody. It's really frightening. Mm. It's really funny. Nick Frost is incredibly funny in it.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. Hot Fuzz is the same thing. Yeah. It's just, they're quotable. They're all so quotable.
A big bushy beard. Oh, just smacked my microphone out of the way. We'll try that again, shall we?
No.
Aww.
So you don't like the third one?
It's not that I don't like it. I do like it. I just think the first two are on another level, and that is slightly below. The World's End is slightly below the other two. But no, I do like it. I definitely do like it.
Okay, that's good. I've got a massive poster that's going to go on my wall, and I've got all three of them to sign it at one point when I went into HMV quite a few years ago now.
Now, I'm thinking, should I change my second so it doesn't match you? But I'm keeping it. Cornetto Trilogy is number two for me. So
okay. Yeah. So what's your number four?
My number four is the Before Trilogy. We've talked about it already, mentioned it.
So you've caught up and watched all of
these. I watched all three.
Last time we spoke about these, you hadn't watched the last one.
I had never seen them. I hadn't seen them before we had them on the podcast. So before Leila Lateef chose it as her favourite sequel.
And Jane Crowther.
And then Jane Crowther saw it again. And I watched the first one before the Jane Crowther episode. So it's in one and two. And then I watched number three last night so that I could get it into this.
And they're all as good as each other, because the second one's amazing.
For me, it's 2-3-1.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So the second film is incredible. It is incredible. And the third film, I find that Ethan Hawke's character as Jesse is starting to grate on me a little, because he's just a bit feckless and annoying. I'm like, if you could just communicate, none of these things would be a problem. So for people that don't know about the Before Trilogy, they're written and directed by Richard Linklater. and they are very stripped down movies centered on two characters, essentially. And in the first movie, they meet on a train. He's flying back to America. She's off to Paris. They're in Vienna, and they kind of like have 24 hours together, basically. And it's a very kind of conversational movie, and you go through Vienna with them and, you know, see a snapshot.
Is there as much
into
walking in the other ones as the other two?
Three there is, two not so much. One not so much. There are more cuts in one, whereas two is like one like long movie, essentially. They meet up again in Paris, sort of by accident, sort of on purpose, 9 years later. Jesse is married and got a kid, and yeah, they sort of meet up again. And I don't want to spoil what happens, but there is a third one, so you can guess. But yeah, it's brilliantly shot. It's beautiful. You feel like you are eavesdropping on someone's private conversation.
Yeah.
It absolutely tugs at my heartstrings. And yeah, it's a wonderfully made film. And then the third one is in Greece. It's set in Greece. And Jesse and
Celeste,
yeah, are together. Is that right? Yeah, it is right. Yeah, they're together, and they've been married, and they've got children, and this is kind of like they're having a rocky time in their marriage. Essentially, there's some hints that maybe Jesse has cheated, and yeah, there's some bumps in the road. He basically wants to move back to America. She wants to stay in Paris. And there's a really nice long walking sequence through this Greek village where they're staying, going to a hotel. And yeah, it's not quite as good as the second one. I think there's a few bits in it that I find a bit jarring. There's some unnecessary nudity that I don't know why is in there. I don't know. It feels a bit weird. But I don't know. And then, yeah, it kind of ends in a way that you think there could be a fourth one. Maybe.
Well, this is why I haven't watched it yet, because I'm still waiting for someone to, I think, pick this as their dream sequel, which when we're on the show, we normally watch the one before it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly scope for a four, but I'd watch three if I were you. It's one of those films you watch every
15 years to see where these characters are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I hear from the grapevine that this is a lot of people's, would be in their top five trilogies. And I've only watched the second one. I think I've watched the first one, but I have no recollection. And the third one is definitely a blind spot of me. But if they're anything like the second one, which is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. The second one, I think, is the best of the trilogy.
And I can see why.
And the third is close. And the first one, maybe I'm just too old for the first one, because it's a story of kind of very young love. And I'm a bit old and cynical for that now. I'm basically the same age they are in the third one. They're 41 in that one. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of, maybe I'm waiting for the next one. But the second one is my favourite, I think. Anyway.
What's your number three?
Well, it was going to be Ghostbusters, but I took it out because I thought it was against the rules. And this probably links very, very closely to what we talked about last week, but it's the Clerks trilogy.
Really?
Yeah. Clerks 1, 2 and 3.
I did not see that coming.
No?
After our conversation last week.
Well, okay. I thought about there is officially the Jersey trilogy, which is Clerks, Mallrats and Chasing Amy. And I felt like...
Is it?
Yeah, apparently that's the Jersey
trilogy. That's a good
one. And I kind of felt like maybe that was cheating a little bit, seeing as there's now a Clerks 2 and a Clerks 3. So, you know, the Jersey trilogy doesn't quite feel like the trilogy it should be. But the Clerks trilogy, I think, is definitely my number three. I still love Clerks. I love Clerks 2 even more. And I think once I've watched Clerks 3 another four or five times, then maybe I'll get that into my heart as well. But
I was thinking about Clerks 3 a lot over the weekend. Mm. Obviously, we watched it, we reviewed it, and we said it's good, but we didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a grower.
I think if I watch all three of them back to back, I'll like Clerks 3 more than I did when we did the review last week.
Do you realise the last two trilogies you picked are like the same kind of base? They've released them every 15 years or whatever.
It's pretty much.
And it's seeing how these characters that you love in different places in their life.
I'm a man of very simple pleasures, and those are the sort of movies I like. Clever dialogue, that's nothing particularly has to massively happen.
No, just really well-written dialogue.
Just really well-written dialogue with characters I care about.
Yeah. And we all know, if you listen to these episodes, that I think you're currently a 2-1 free man, Clerks. But yeah. Clerks was a big moment for you. It made you kind of change, one of the films that made you change your life direction.
Absolutely, yeah, completely.
I can't argue.
And that's
that.
Why I have to have Clerks in there, because the Clerks, the trilogy, you know, because 2 is so good and 1 was so important. And yet I can't judge it on 3. 3 isn't enough to bring the trilogy down.
But it's a solid film. We did say
and 3 is a solid film. I didn't hate 3. I just didn't love it. But maybe I will love it in the future.
Maybe because, yeah, expectations were too high at that point.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, what about you? What's your third?
Well, this is when it starts getting predictable for me. 3, Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a feeling that being that. I deliberately didn't pick that because I knew you would.
I think there isn't a weak film in the Back to the Future trilogy. There's a lot of people out there that don't like the third one. There's a lot of people out there that don't like the second one. and they can all agree that the first one is a masterpiece, I think. I mean, it's weird. There is people... It is weird when you start... People who watch it now and they're like, oh, the mother-son thing's a bit weird. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you... kind of get over that, and I think it's aged really well. I've loved it since the dawn of time. Back to the Future, I think, since the first, it was like love at first sight. Michael J. Fox was so cool, skateboarding, hoverboards, the DeLorean, going to a Western. I had the Mega Drive game of Back to the Future 3, which is the most difficult game in the world, and you couldn't get past the first, second level. I just think. They're brilliant films. They're escapism. They're the best non-Steven Spielberg film that he's made, if that makes sense. Up there probably with the Goonies, because he's made a lot of films that he's produced already.
And he's had a hand in, but not actually.
Had a hand in, but because it kind of feels like a Spielberg film, the music and the way it's shot. But Robert Zemeckis obviously directed all three of them, and it's nice that there's the same hand in all three of them. I would watch Back to the Future 1, 2 and 3 back to back for the rest of the eternity, I think, and still be happy.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it's a good choice. It's a good choice. I knew you would pick it. I knew it would be in the top 3. That's why I didn't.
I thought everyone loved Back to the Future films.
Yeah.
And now, yeah. Apparently that's not a thing.
Apparently Back to the Future 2 is not as beloved as you think it is. I mean, I'm a 1-2-3 man. I think that 1's the best. 2's a close second and 3 is a close third, essentially.
What I've learned from this is that I'm trying to research this and trying that perfect trilogies probably don't exist.
No, true. There's always one that's not as strong, I think.
And there was a couple of films there, trilogies, that were pretty much perfect, and then they've tacked on the endings. A 4. It's like a Toy Story, Toy Story trilogy, when it was just 3 of them.
Yeah.
I think that would both be in our list.
It would. 100%.
Indiana Jones. Yeah. If it was just 3 of them.
Would have been in the list, definitely.
I think the Bourne films.
Die Hard would have been in there.
Oh, well, Die Hard has gone. Yeah.
Lethal Weapon would have been in there, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
They're all good, the Lethal Weapons. But I think doing a good trilogy is very hard to stick. Look at The Matrix.
Absolutely.
Didn't make it through as a trilogy.
And they added a 4th and it's even worse.
Yeah, and there's some films that you think, why is this a trilogy? Like the Hangover films.
Well, yeah.
I think The Hangover Part 1... Actually, I'm just going to call it Hangover.
The Hangover is really good, and the other two are shocking.
I've still never returned to them. No. They made me angry.
Well, everyone knows what my second choice is, Dave, because he's already talked about it, the Cornetto trilogy. So what's your number 2?
Wow. Okay, this was difficult, and these could change different day to day. Star Wars, episodes 4-6.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I had that pegged as your number 1, actually, but yeah.
Oh, and we all know what my number 1's going to be.
I know what your number 1 is.
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Weirdly, Return of the Jedi is still my favourite of these three. I think it's the best Star Wars film there is. It's incredible. The freeway battle at the end is one of the best pieces of cinema ever.
Yeah. Now, okay.
You're an Empire fan.
I'm an Empire fan, absolutely. Because I think Empire does the thing you can only do when you know you're making a trilogy, which is the baddies can win. Like,
absolutely.
If you're a standalone movie, your baddies can't win. If you're, you know, if you're not sure you're getting the next one, your baddies can't win. The good guys still have to win. That's the rules of movies. No, there's a trilogy. You know there's 3 parts. The baddies can win the middle one.
And that is an amazing film.
It is an amazing film.
Also, guys, no one's picked that as best sequel yet. No, so if you're coming on the show and we ask, then please consider it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Star Wars means a lot to me. I remember watching it very young, continuously, I think. At every opportunity I could watch Star Wars, I watched Star Wars. Always thinking about Star Wars, playing Star Wars, reading about Star Wars. There are now 3 Star Wars trilogies, can we say?
Yes, yeah. I think probably letting you have Star Wars is pushing it a bit.
Because they're very separate stories.
Prequels and sequels, so...
Yeah, no, but they're still 3 trilogies. Original trilogy. I googled a lot of trilogies and this came up on every single one. So there's the originals, the prequels, and the sequels, right? That's how they put them. And the other two don't even come near to this as a complete trilogy. As three films put together, they're amazing. As storytelling, I watched recently on Disney Plus the Light and Magic TV series.
Yeah, you mentioned.
Have you watched this yet?
I haven't. No, I haven't got around to it.
Man, there's a scene in High Fidelity when Rob is writing out his top 5 dream jobs and he keeps changing them, and his ex girlfriend's there reading, like working at. Rolling Stones between my I think now one of my dream jobs would be working at ILM during that period of episode 4 to 6. They had the best time. So many creative genius minds doing stuff that wasn't possible. And I didn't realise how impossible lots of the stuff they did was.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Star Wars stuff. They're all incredible pieces of cinema, even before George Lucas went back and
touched them up.
Tinkled with them a little bit.
Absolutely. So, okay. So that's your number 2. So I know what your number 1 is now. So that's because I had your 1, 2, 3, but I wasn't sure what order you were going to pick them in. So I deliberately didn't pick those. Now, I completely agree with you. Star Wars is possibly the best trilogy. I didn't pick it because, one, I thought it was against the rules because there are others. So cheated.
Do your research.
2, I didn't pick it because I knew you were going to pick it. But I agree with you. Star Wars should be up there. So my number.
So this is your number 2.
This is my number. My number.
Before
one
your number 1,
now.
Can I suggest talk about the ones maybe we haven't mentioned?
Okay.
And if it comes up, correct me. Godfathers trilogy.
Yeah, obviously you haven't mentioned it because I haven't watched them all.
Yep. And like I said, they are proper good films, but. The third one, I feel, lets it down.
Yeah.
Evil Dead trilogy.
Yes, again. I have seen them all, actually, now, because we've watched them for the podcasts.
But solid
trilogy. That could well have been in there. Austin Powers was in there. Maybe
they're fun, but I wouldn't call them the best trilogy.
No. Again, not the best trilogy ever, but I like them. They're not... Yeah. Again, we're talking about mine rather than...
Okay. This is where the point... It might be one of these 3, I reckon. The Dollars trilogy.
It's possible. I can't remember if I've seen all of them because I didn't
think...
Yeah,
and a few more dollars do blend.
For a long time, I didn't think I'd seen The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. So I watched it and I was like, I have definitely seen this before. I've definitely seen it.
So you might have not watched one of the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, so my dad was quite into Westerns. So we watched a few Westerns and stuff. So chances are I have seen them, but I was probably too young to sort of take it all in.
Okay. What about the new... You might not have thought of this, but the new Apes trilogy.
I did think of that. And that was...
Which is probably one of the best, most recent trilogies there have been.
It's actually, again, it's on my list of ones I could have put in.
Yeah, it's on my list as well.
So I was tempted, when you said the Cornetto trilogy for yours, I was tempted to put the Apes trilogy in instead of that.
They are truly
basically
solid
for every
films.
Choice I've got, I put a second choice in case.
So number 1, is it the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight films?
Number 1 is Christopher Nolan Dark Knight films. You're right. Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight is my number 1 choice. Yeah. And it would have been, I'd put Star Wars / that, basically. So yeah, there you go. Again, I was trying to think of ones that I didn't think you would pick.
I didn't pick Dark Knight trilogy in there.
Yeah.
Mainly
because you don't like Dark Knight Rises.
And I've recently watched Dark Knight Rises, but I think I enjoy the other trilogies more that I've spoken about.
Okay.
More as 2 films. Yes, The Dark Knight is amazing. Batman Begins is fantastic. I think The Dark Knight Rises truly lets it down.
As a trilogy. You're absolutely right. It is the worst of the three. I don't think it diminishes the overall trilogy. I don't think it's as bad as you do. I can see that...
Bad's not the worst.
I can see that it's not great. It's not the best. It is a disappointment. I still like it. I still enjoy it.
I will never get over that feeling I had when I came out of it, I think.
Yeah.
First time.
Yeah. Okay.
All the other ones I picked, when I've come out, the third ones in particular, I'm still buzzing about that series.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But so not your number on. One what? Is then. So you, no, no, you yeah, guess yeah. my no, number let's talk one.
About, let's talk your number one. Why do you like it so much? The Batman, Christopher Nolan's.
I just think that, and let's be, I mean, they're not, yeah, yeah. I just think that it was a completely different way of telling that superhero story. You know, when they came out, it was such a different way of seeing Batman. We were so used to Tim Burton's Batman, which was dark, but darkly comic. And then the follow-ons, which were just terrible. And this was the first kind of proper grown-up Batman. And we'd had Marvel movies, but this felt like even more grown-up. You know, this is like... I know they make the Marvel movies for grown-ups, but... They're still made for kids as well, you know. Whereas this felt like this is not a movie that any kids are going to watch. You know, this is not a trilogy that any kids are going to watch. It took some of, you know, the some really good storylines and worked on those. It made some incredible villains and some slightly ropey villains. but I don't. I am also not someone who hates Tom Hardy's Bane. I mean, I don't hate that. I mean, I learned today that Bane is actually supposed to be like Hispanic, so
yeah,
that's probably a weird choice. Like, I don't know why they didn't get somebody who could have, you know, done that. But anyway, yeah, I think they're a great trilogy.
Do you think The Dark Knight's the best one out of the three? Or
yeah,
because there are a lot of people love Batman Begins.
Yeah, there are, but no, Dark Knight's best. Yeah, absolutely.
And is that, well? We've spoken about Dark Knight quite often.
We have, yeah.
And we will in the future, yeah, because
it's going to get picked again.
It's in the Hall of Fame of unequal sequel, best sequels. Mm. But Batman Begins for a minute was so good at setting up that world, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Like you, it absolutely shocked me because the previous ones had been so mental. But I think Batman Begins was also the first one I really watched as an adult.
Mm.
There was a big gap between Batman and Robin
when
I was definitely, I think I was 12. So
I never watched Batman and Robin. I didn't watch Batman and Robin until we did this podcast.
So the first time you watched Batman Begins is when you were really into films, probably, right?
Probably, yeah.
And you think, oh, this is the shit.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, look, it. Any other day, like I said, it probably could get in my top five trilogies. It's probably sitting at number six.
Okay.
So I.
It would probably be lower down in my list if I had allowed myself to pick ones I knew you were going to pick.
Hey, you could do that.
I know I could, but I wanted it to be interesting for the listeners.
Okay, listeners. Well, my number one is boring.
I know exactly what your number one is. It's going to be Lord of the Rings.
Of course it is. It's Lord of the Rings, Fellowship, Two Towers, Return of the King. It is the greatest achievement of cinema ever, apart from Star Wars episodes 4 to 6. I adore these films. And I'm a little bit different. I think The Two Towers is the greatest one.
I agree. Two Towers is my favourite. Yeah.
I just think they're brilliant. I remember, before I watched the films, I did read the books. I was that nerd. I did question where Tom Bombadil was for a while.
I read the books when I was at school. Like, you know, really? These things happen.
They're very long.
They're very long, yeah. I read The Hobbit first and then I read the Lord of the Rings book.
I was very excited because I was a huge Peter Jackson nerd prior
Lord
of the Rings. I watched all of his Brain Deads and, you know, Meet the Feebles and stuff like that. Probably way before my time, but I knew who he was. And then I read in a magazine he was making this Lord of the Rings films. And that's when I started to research Lord of the Rings. Because at the same time, there was early talks of him doing King Kong. And I was excited for him to do that. And then that went on the back burner.
Yeah.
And then actually read all about it in Ian Nathan's book.
Okay.
That I keep talking about. So when Lord of the Rings came out, Fellowship, I was super excited. It was just before Christmas. there's a lot of stuff in it that you hadn't really seen before, especially deep, amazing fantasy films.
Mm, yeah.
We've been stars for that kind of film for a while. Mm. And the characters were so good. Aragorn is still proper badass.
But you don't like really long movies, Dave.
Well, this is what I'm talking about. I think I get labelled of not liking long films. I hate films that don't use their time appropriately. I think Lord of the Rings does.
Okay, that's fair.
And
that's fair.
Maybe towards the end of Return of the King, you think, come on now, end. But then they do the bit, you stand to no one kind of bit. Mm. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
brilliant. I think Helm's Deep is the greatest battle on film.
Mm, Helm's Deep is brilliant. Yeah.
I love the worlds between the elves and the dwarves and the men.
Do you think that maybe the first one of this trilogy slightly lets it down? Like Fellowship, just it's got like 14 endings.
Yes, but it does a lot of hard work of building. It's a world builder.
Is it Fellowship that's got the really creepy Gandalf smile and in it as well? Like he's got like, was that in The Hobbit? When is Gandalf the White? No, that's the third one, isn't it? When he gets turned to Gandalf the White and then
that happens in the second one. He dies in the first one. Spoilers, guys. Well, he doesn't die. He falls down a big hole. He kind of dies.
Yeah. You don't think he dies. But anyway, yeah. So isn't there a one where he's like, there's like light behind him and he's like, and then there's
that's when he returns in the second one.
Okay. That always made me feel a bit icky, that scene.
In Fangorn, the forest.
Yeah.
I probably say all these wrong. I think Fellowship does a wonderful job of building the world, especially setting the difference between the different dwarves, elves, men, orcs. And especially, I really love it at the moment because I'm watching The Rings of Power, which we'll go into more on the end of month thing, which is very much that world. Mm. And the orcs are brilliant in it.
Yeah.
I just think Lord of the Rings is superb, especially when you put it next to the Hobbit trilogy, which they did a few years later, and it doesn't look even as close.
Don't
as
really have
as
the source material for the Hobbit, though, do you?
Well, I think the Hobbit is one of my favourite books.
One very short book.
It's Wafferfin.
Yeah, it's one very short book. Like you can't make three epic movies from that book. Whereas Lord of the Rings is three tomes of book.
Epic,
movies. Yeah, absolutely,
they're truly epic.
Yeah,
as well. Mm. It's very rare do we get films of that scale.
No. Well, I can't think of many before it.
Well, they've
in my kind of living
tried.
Memory, there are some, you know, there's like Lawrence of Arabia and things like that have epic scale sort of before I was born. But in my kind of living memory, like that, I can't think of anything. Braveheart, maybe.
Like,
you know, Braveheart was pretty epic, and Gladiator potentially, but not a trilogy, not like this. And not like...
No. There's stuff in those films that I had never seen before, like Gollum.
Mm.
Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, he looks not as good. I mean, at that point in...
Yeah, it was cutting edge
mid-2000s. And Andy Serkis is so good as that, as Gollum.
Absolutely.
I think it's genius. I think it's going to be probably... I say it's my favourite film. That and Star Wars does change on a daily basis. So there's no way of picking two.
Nice.
And I'm a 2-3-1 man on this, I imagine.
Good choices. Yeah, I'm probably the same, 2-3-1, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Nice. That's a nice way to end, you know. If you've all been listening to this and you think that we've missed a trilogy or that we're wrong... And they should be in different order. We've definitely missed some. Tell us. Get on the Twitter. We're at @unequalsequel. And we're also on Instagram at @unequalsequel as well. Or you can send us an email, unequalsequel@hotmail.com. Tell us what you think. Let us know what your choices are for your top five trilogies. We will read them out in that end of month roundup special, which is coming next Friday. So
Yes, it is. I've looked at my schedule on my board.
Dave's got a whiteboard behind his head with a schedule on it that he's very proud of. You can listen to that. You can check out our website now as well, www.unequalsequel.com. We'll be back very soon with series 4 of our interview episodes. Keep an eye out for that. Make sure you will never miss an episode if you go back to your pod shop of choice, click that little subscribe click your download, automatically download button, and we'll drop into your pod shop of choice, wherever you like to listen to your podcasts, every single week, and you'll never miss an episode. And yeah, while you're there, if you wouldn't mind, just giving us a little 5 stars. Give us a tick, give us a heart, give us a like, whatever it is you can do. And if you can write a review, people who listen on Apple Podcasts, for example, then please do. We love the reviews. We get all excited whenever a review comes in. And yeah, that'd be really nice of you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, well done, mate. Yeah, the Apple people, you know you can review us. That'd be nice. The Spotify people, I think there's a button somewhere you can click.
Yeah.
That's 5 stars.
Gives us a thumbs up.
Also, on Apple at the moment, not on Apple, on Spotify at the moment, there is an option of telling us you can comment on our page. So it's new and I don't really understand it because it's fangorn, like technology and with me and Richard, but you can comment somewhere. Yes, please be in contact, but I've got nothing else to say.
Nope.
Good trilogies, Rich.
Yeah, you too, mate.
And it's a chat soon from me.
Nice.
And it's a bye-bye from him.
Bye!
And then, guys, have you ever thought about writing a play? Well, now's the time. You look real confused. Get out there and write a play.
Just go and write a play. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the theatre.
Like you're in year four.
There's not enough. Good ones. See you next week. Bye.
Write a play. Honestly.